Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
Kick it! Welcome back, everybody. This is Football Friday. Darren and Sterling Wright here on ESPN Kansas City. You love Football Fridays.
I love Football Fridays, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and
maybe
even
not
Tuesday.
Thursdays. Last night's game, maybe not Thursdays.
I have to say, because I gamble and make these prop bets, the games really aren't that bad because, look, it gives you a sense of false hope early in the game.
Gets
that first and only touchdown. I'm like, damn, dude, you know, you get the first touchdown. You think he's going to get something
else? I knew you were getting excited when Golden Tate caught the first one.
I did. Like, I was like, 39 yards. And then, hold on, then it got to the last drive. I'm like, okay, so if he gets an 80-yard pass, it's 119 yards. I need 120. Then they got a penalty, go back 10 yards. I'm like, okay, I do a 90-yard one. Didn't happen that way. But, hey, it kept me interested. Of course, we also have, of course, the debate. So that was a topic of discussion last night on the show as well. So, no, it was Thursday Night Football, for me, has not been bad simply because of the prop bets that I make.
That's
so
fair.
That keeps me, as me and Steve once talked about, it keeps you, it has you look at the game in a totally different aspect that you and I would normally look at, just watching, basically just seeing how good or how bad, let's just say, for example, the Chiefs play. Well, now if I'm betting little ins and outs, okay, I need Clyde to get 60 yards. I need this guy over here to get so many yards and Travis so many catches like that. Then I'm looking at the minutiae stuff like, damn, Patrick, come on, I need to spread the ball or get the ball, feed somebody for me. So stuff like that keeps me interested in not only that type of game, but all the games if I have stuff spread across the way.
Well, yeah, Eagles somehow came back and won. Great throw at the very end. Shout out to Big Charlie's listening in. I've been to Big Charlie's out there. Cool spot, cool bar. I do want to give a shout out, though, because Carson Wentz made a very good throw late in the game to Boston Scott for that touchdown. They've not had much to work with as far as healthy receivers. DeSean Jackson finally comes back. He gets hurt on a punt return, which I don't know why you're still throwing him on punt returns at this point in his career. That's just silly to me. But the Eagles won. They take the lead in the NFC East. Six wins honestly may win that division. The funny part is they could win six games and end up with a home game against a wild card team because they would have won that division.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I actually had a conversation with Lebo about that because I don't know if it's actually happened. I think he says that it may have happened before, but generally, you know, in some sports, you can win the division and not have the best record. And I was wondering, because I said, well, because of how the NFC East is looking, I'm like, can a team go 0-6 and still win the division? But basically, you just have the best record.
Yeah.
So I was like, so you can basically go 0-6 and just, as long as you got 10, you know, you win 10 games and you in first, you win it. So I'm like, well, it kind of sucks to be the conference, quote-unquote conference champion, and you can't even represent. So, but again, it's so bad over in the NFC East. I don't, you know, why would you even want to go to the playoffs?
Exactly. I was joking. Obviously, it's not possible because the joke I made was whoever wins the NFC East is going to make the playoffs and get a top 10 draft pick. It's a joke because if you make the playoffs, you automatically are 21st or lower, it's based on seeding. But it's kind of funny where both these teams are so bad. You could be in the playoff hunt and still end up with a top 10 draft pick. How's that?
Yeah, I mean, but it has happened. I mean, you had the Seattle Seahawks one year. I think they made it 7-9 or 7-8-1.
7-9. They won a game.
Yeah.
They won a game.
It's even worse. But you mentioned DeSean Jackson. Man, the man stays hurt. The man stays hurt. Like, he was just injured in week three.
And I feel bad for the dude because it looks like he got hurt on a late hit. There was a penalty on the hit that took him out of the game. So I do feel bad for DeSean. I will say, though, Kansas City, Denver, I was at the game last year during the snow game. It was unbelievable. And it's looking like it could be a snow game round two.
Well, we know what happened. You know, Patrick has a field day when he gets to play in the snow. He feels
can spin it in anything.
Yeah, he acts like a little kid. Brant Phelps says that the Raiders did it a few years ago. that they win 6-10 and won every division game. Again, I don't know about that one, but you know, hopefully somebody will double check on that to see if that's actually happened. But yeah, they won the game 22-21. And here's the thing, the Giants, I had more money, basically, you know, money being smaller type overall bets on the Giants for them to win just based off of stats and stuff like that, and they should have won the game. But Evan Engram, you know, I know he's gonna live that pass down, you know, that he dropped. Would have been I don't want to say it would have been a touchdown pass, but at least it would have got
35. It would have probably iced the game, or at least
got him in position.
Got him in better position, at least for a field goal at a minimum. And Evan Engram's probably their best player, which makes it even worse. I mean, honestly, Evan Engram's probably their best player, and that's a big drop.
Then, of course, you look at Daniel Jones' 80-yard rumble, and again, I don't know how the man goes 80 yards and goes untouched and just collapses under his own might.
The ghosts out there, just Sam Darnold ghosts that he sees, is what got Daniel Jones.
Really? It's a good way of looking at it.
No, I mean, it was a great run. Everyone keeps talking about the top speed he had. It was great. He's fast for a quarterback, don't get me wrong. But they're trying to compare him to Tyreek Hill. How often does Tyreek Hill get an 80-yard sprint down the middle of the field? That never happens. So that's a whole different situation.
I think they'll try to compare it because they said his top speed was 21.2.
Yeah,
miles
I mean,
per hour.
No,
come on, man.
For a quarterback, that's fast. I'll give Daniel Jones credit.
Well, he's faster than Patrick Mahomes. I give you that. But I'm just, I mean, but still, there's look. If you're a 300-pound lineman, I get it. You gas out. Daniel Jones, man, if you can't run the length of the field, especially untouched, we got a problem.
Yeah, I think he just – do you ever, like, when you're younger, and I used to run – I ran track, like, in middle school. And when you're running, you get your legs get a little tired, and all of a sudden you think you can still make it out, and your body just gives out. It looks like Daniel Jones just got tired, thought he could do it, and his body just gave out on him. It was funny. It's the most Giants possible play in that situation.
True story. It happened to me in the fourth grade. I was at Center Elementary School. Of course, it's off of 85th and Pacell here in Kansas City. Potato sack race, you know, when you and I was faster than everybody, but my speed outweighed my feet, and I tripped up at the finish line and lost. I fell. It happens
to the best of us.
You took the words right out of my
mouth. And we're not even professional athletes.
Well, hold on. Now, I was at the age of four. Now, I mean, in the fourth grade, I was getting paid at that time.
Uh-huh.
I was.
For a hacky sack, for potato races.
I was getting paid lunch meals. Darren, if you compete, you know, we got you.
Works.
Extra pizza. It helps.
We got a question from Greg. What about Butker missing extra points? I think it's mental.
Man, I got a problem with that.
So I think we disagree. The reason why I don't have a problem, it hasn't costed the Chiefs any games yet.
Yeah, but I don't want it to get to a point where it does.
That's fine. But I'll let him get through his problems in week 5, week 6, rather than later in the season. Remember last year? I remember it very vividly, you saying when he was missing a couple of those shorter ones and you got upset saying he's got to get it figured out, and I go, it's okay. I'd rather have it now than in the playoffs. And what happened? He figured it out. Butker is too good. He's a top 5 kicker. He is going to figure it out. Give him time.
Hold on. I don't have any doubt about that, but my issue is you can kick a 70, 75-yard damn field goal, but you can't kick an extra point.
It's mental. But guess what? 3 is more than 1. And if he's going 3 for 3 on field goals with a 50-yarder in there and he's going 2 of 3 on extra points, guess what? I'll take that. If you look around the league right now in the NFL, there are so many teams with kicking problems and kicking woes. If you're not Justin Tucker, who is number one, if you're not Justin Tucker, chances are you're probably not completely comfortable with your kicking situation. Kansas is one of the few, probably 5 spots where you're pretty comfortable in Harrison Butker. Just because he's missing extra points right now in week 5, week 6, I'm going to give that dude the benefit of the doubt because he has shown time and time again to make clutch kicks.
Trust me, I believe it's mental. I know it's nothing physical. I know Dave Toe, when he talks with us, says each week, you know, there's little minor kinks that he has to work out, and then he claims that he does. You know, it's funny because you would think all he does is kick.
Yeah.
And, you know, along with the punters, but you would think he does that like every day in practice. Come to find out that he really doesn't. He only does it maybe a couple of days during the week.
I'm sure your leg would get – think how sore your leg would
get. Well, here's the thing. Well, here's the thing, because I used to kick – I told you, I used to love kicking. When – if you're kicking alone, especially if you're trying to kick 70, 75 yards, you do that because you're training your leg and you're strengthening your leg like that. But – you know, but the more you do that, I don't. Well, yeah, thank you, Greg. He has one job, and that's to kick the ball and make it. But when you're doing that, in my opinion, I believe that not only are you strengthening your leg, but it should also be working on the accuracy, because if you can kick it 70, 75 yards and make it, again, mental or not, I mean, I don't know. Does he feel like he needs to take 10 yards back and kick extra point or what?
I mean, the Nick Van Axel free throw where you go back a couple feet. But what I will say with Butker is, yes, it's mental, but – and yes, he has one job, to kick the ball. I get that. I'm with you. But guess what? Are the Astros going to give up on Jose Altuve when he had the yips throwing the ball from second base to first base? No. you know he's good enough to bounce back. I think Harrison Butker is a similar situation where Harrison Butker is an elite kicker. The people that are saying, what should the Chiefs do? Should they go look at someone else?
Well,
that's
no,
asked,
no,
who the hell are you going to bring in that's better than him and more consistent? There's no one out there.
Well, I'm not thinking that at all. I'm just – thinking he's got to get it together before
the playoffs. And that's fair, and I think he will. At the end of the day, I think this is a mental situation because he's shown to make the tough ones.
I got to say, because you mentioned and you said the yips, I was at the barbershop last week getting my hair cut. Dewan Bond, shout out Purple Label, took care of your guy. Why was there a guy who was sitting there talking about yips? And I was like, what? And he said the magic word, yip, so that caught my attention. And so, of course, Dewan didn't know what it was. And I was like, ah, I say, the baseball term, isn't it? He said, yeah. I said, yeah. And I told him, I said, man, my coach, he talked about the yips on the show this week. I was like, I don't know where it came from. But I'm glad you said it. But see, you said it about Houston. Now, don't be trying to bring Houston up and you was hating on them this whole time.
No, I'm just saying, at the end of the day, Butker is good enough to get this figured out. I will say, around the NFL, Dustin Colquitt got released today from the Steelers. It's kind of sad seeing...
He didn't even make it through the year.
Yeah. Especially after he made an amazing play as a holder where the snap came back and skidded to him and he got it down before the kicker could get it. And it was unbelievable. But
think the Chiefs look at bringing him back?
No. Townsend has been unbelievable. The one thing Townsend needs to work on is the coffin corner kicks. The thing that Colquitt was so good at was getting inside the 10, not getting the touchbacks. Townsend has an absolutely boot for a leg. It's unbelievable. But with time, he'll get the accuracy more figured out.
Of course, you're listening to Darren Sterling here on ESPN Kansas City Radio, 94.5 FM, 15:10 a.m. The Chiefs this Sunday against the Denver Broncos, 3:25 kickoff. Of course, you can listen to the postgame show at around 6:30, 7 o'clock on Sports Radio 810 WHB. That'll be done by Josh Briscoe. But this Sunday, Chiefs will be out. They'll be without starters Sammy Watkins, along with offensive tackle Mitchell Schwartz and defensive reserve tackle Charlton and Alex Okafor. They will all be out of Sunday's game against the Denver Broncos. How does that make you look at the game on Sunday?
Nothing different, to be honest. I mean, Sammy Watkins is a huge loss. Mitchell Schwartz should be a huge loss, but Mike Rimmers filled in admirably last week. So the starting offensive line...
Yeah, they rushed 245, so yeah.
The beginning of what it's going to be is going to be Fisher, Allegretti, Kilgore, Wiley, Rimmers. They were unbelievable last week. I think you for sure run that back. I'm excited to see if this bounces back 2 weeks in a row. If this offensive line gets the same push, and I expect that it does, 2 weeks in a row, I think the Chiefs will really be rolling. And it's exciting to see Le'Veon Bell join this. I think we're going to see a heavy dose of Clyde in this game with a little sprinkling of Le'Veon. I mean, I don't know how you feel about that, but I don't expect Le'Veon to get more than 10 touches this game.
No, that's fair. I don't see him getting no more than that. You talking about as a running or just running and receiving?
Both. I think if I was doing an over-under, I'd probably set it right at 10.
That's fair. Now, the only way I see him get more is if Clyde somehow puts it on the ground.
Yeah, fair.
And that. But look, I have not seen Clyde play in snow because he played at LSU. So I'm not sure how often he played in this type of weather.
Yeah.
No, sir. No, I'm really thinking about it because it doesn't really get that type of cold down there, and I don't think they see much snow down in Louisiana.
I mean, really, I would assume a lot of players don't see snow until the NFL, and even then, you probably only see it in certain scenarios. I mean, Kansas City hadn't had a snow game in a long time, and you would think Kansas City would have had one nearly almost every year.
No, they had one last year against the—
No, no, I said before that. I was at the game last year. But I'm saying before that, there hadn't been one in— it was a while. It's just surprising. You don't see as many snow games because each snow game seems to be memorable, especially in this area, Kansas City and more south. It seems to stand out.
Yeah, I never forget that game I remember last year. I did my pregame show from Philly. It was cold. It was cold. The snow was blowing. Everybody was like, "Oh, it's Patrick." I'm like, "Patrick's gonna play." I don't know. I can't remember what the buildup was about that game, being in the way that it was snowing or whatever. But I think I had like 22,000 views or whatever that they, because they just could not believe that.
Driving to the game was crazy.
Oh yeah, but
driving.
You know, I get there early, but I'm not trying to fool around with traffic, man. They, you know, y'all can't drive in the snow, so you know y'all play too much.
Who's play too much? Me?
No, I'm saying fans in general, you know, don't know how to drive in inclement weather.
I mean, I'm in a Jeep Wrangler, and I'm seeing folks try to go up these hills in like a sedan, or not like a sedan. I'm like, there is no way in hell they're getting up. And of course, they start sliding back, and I'm trying to pull off into driveways. It's crazy.
So, obviously, yesterday in Kansas City was 83 degrees. Today, looking at, and I'm just pulling on my cell phone right quick, when I look at the temperature, it's, 45 degrees today. Obviously, when they leave to go to Denver on Saturday, it's going to be about 63 degrees when they wake up Sunday for the game. It's going to be 27 degrees. I mean, if you're Andy Reid, I know he kind of mentioned it today that I guess he's kind of thankful that, you know, the change of weather, going from being in a bathing suit yesterday to, you know, having his triple fat goose on today in the press conference. What I'm hoping for, if anything, that none of the players come up sick, you know, with that quick change of weather, yeah. Especially when you go from, you know, mild and warm weather straight up to, obviously, you're in higher altitude, but then the cold and below freezing and 27 degrees. But outside of, I don't have any doubt Patrick's going to ball out Sunday. I think Travis is going to ball out Sunday. But before we go to break, how do you see Sunday's game unfolding?
Yeah, I got Chiefs 33, Broncos 17. I think the offensive line, again, gets a good push in this one. I think the Chiefs rely on Clyde a lot in this game. I truly think they do. I don't think we're going to see a lot of deep passes, and not necessarily because the Chiefs don't want to. I think the Broncos are going to do the exact same thing we saw from the Bills, because you know why? The Bills are a better team than the Broncos, but that style of strategy seems to work out and let you at least have a chance at the end of the ball game. So I think the Broncos will be okay dropping back, you know, 7-8 guys and letting Kansas City run the ball, take time off the clock, and then the Broncos will hang in there. And I still think Kansas City wins, and I think it's not going to go to plan because the Chiefs are just a better team. But I think the Broncos will use a similar strategy that the Bills had.
When I look at the Broncos, I'm not afraid of them at all offensively, but I do look back to what they did and how they played their game against New England last week. And like, I gotta respect the way that they did it, because even though Cam had been out, Cam is still Cam. New England's still New England. Belichick is still Belichick. And they were able to keep them pretty much at the end zone. I mean, they, you know, held them to 12 points.
Yeah, at the very end, they scored, I think, in the fourth quarter, right? The Broncos had 6 field goals. They stalled a lot.
which again, that's what you do. I mean, if you're going to kick 6 field goals, again, that's how, granted, Patrick won the quarterback at the time, but that's how Pittsburgh.
I was going to say, I had flashbacks right there when I hear 6 field goals.
Yeah, and so, you know, If they implement that type of game plan where they can move the ball, granted you keep them at the end zone, but if they can get up and down the field and have those type of long sustained drives and end it with field goals, at least get some points off, you know. Granted, the good thing is Patrick can always quickly score at will,
yeah.
And that's what works in our favor. But you also don't want to get in a situation where, you know, a team is holding onto the ball for 35 minutes.
Last week it was Kansas City.
Yeah, because Kansas City was able to run the ball. I got Kansas City. I don't think I gave a score when I did my update for 107 a day. I got Kansas City win. I'm going to go with Matt Stockdale. I think they win by 2 touchdowns. You know, stranger things have happened. They do have long odds where, you know, Broncos win by plus 14, plus 3,500. You know, I probably put $5-$10 on that. You know, if they somehow look up a win by 2 touchdowns, $250.
If Albert O could have cut a touchdown last week, that game was not that close, because as a Mizzou guy, we watched Alberto drop a good amount of passes his final year there. Drew Lock threw a couple dimes to Alberto in the end zone. He probably should have caught him, but Noah Fant should be back this week, and that's a huge plus for the Denver Broncos offense.
And look, and we don't talk about, obviously, other quarterbacks much, but since he is a hometown kid, Drew Lock, what do you expect from him Sunday?
I love Drew Lock. I don't know.
You and Steve.
If it snows, I don't expect a lot from Drew Lock. Honestly, I don't. I think he's not going to be a snow type of player. They talk about how he has small hands.
Really?
Yeah. But, I mean, I love Drew Lock, and I think he's going to eventually be a very good quarterback in the NFL. It is tough. Yes, Noah Fant's probably back, but he's still a little banged up. No Cortland Sutton. The Melvin Gordon situation still a little up in the air with the DUI situation. He's supposed to play this week, but the NFL still could always come down with a levy against
him.
I think
they'll wait till the court thing play out.
That's fine, but I'm just saying in general, the offensive line of Denver is not great. Drew Lock doesn't have a lot to work with, but
I'm disappointed in Jerry Jeudy. That's their top draft pick. I was expecting a lot more. I think he was the Biletnikoff winner last year for Alabama. I'm actually disappointed in him thus far. You know, I may put a couple of dollars on him just to see what he does against this type of defense. You know, because Kansas City defense the last couple of weeks, they haven't played well at all. So it's not as though Denver won't be able to move the ball against Kansas City if the same defense that's been out the last couple of weeks, show up.
Yeah, I mean, if Josh Allen wasn't missing every single throw last week and the receivers weren't dropping balls, we could be having a completely different conversation this week.
Before we go to break, Christopher Brown asks, is Bell active this week? Yes, he is. If so, what kind of game do you think he'll have? So what do you think about his debut?
Again, I think about 10 touches. I'll probably give him 60 total yards from scrimmage. 10 touches, 60 total yards from scrimmage. Maybe it's 8 carries, 2 receptions. Maybe it's, 5 and 5. I just think it's going to be around 10 catches or 10 touches for 60 yards.
I will give you 60 yards combined, and I'll give him a touchdown. I think, obviously, if he gets down on goal line, you're going to have him on there versus, depending on where they are on the goal line, the snow weather, actually, I might give them 2 touchdowns just because if they don't get in, but they get close to that and they get within 10 yards of the end zone, I could see a situation where you put him in, especially.
You're going with Le'Veon as your goal line back?
Yeah, over Clyde. Every day, all day, every day. But look, let's take a break. Let's come back. We'll do our Week 7 NFL picks. You listen to Darren Sterling here on ESPN Kansas City, 94.5 FM at 1510 AM. Welcome back to Darren Sterling here on ESPN Kansas City, 94.5 FM, 1510 AM. What's the song choice of the day, Mr. Sterling?
You know this one. I'm waiting for it to come in for you. Everlast. What it's like. You know.
You've
never heard this before?
Nah, I never heard it.
Yeah. I think it was early 2000s. Everlast.
Yeah, they didn't play that on 103. I'm sorry.
I know all about Hot 103 jams. I know Mike Carter.
I know, but what I'm saying is you just assume that I'm going to listen to, some rock alternative. I'm not built that way.
That's okay. I'll listen to everything. I got a plethora of music knowledge over here.
That's okay. Don't forget where it all started, though. All right, let's look at Week 7 NFL games in the this Sunday, of course. Start with the games on Fox. Sterling, now we've already did our picks, so you can't deviate from it. Did you have Philadelphia or New York last night?
I had the Eagles last night.
I had the Eagles last night, too. Trust me, I was sweating bullets. First up, Detroit at Atlanta. Atlanta winning their first game last week. Detroit, I think they won last week as well. Who you got in this game?
I got Atlanta in this game.
What?
Matt Ryan with Julio back. That's a very good Matt. The stats,
was he back last week?
Yeah, he was. The stats with Matt Ryan with a healthy Julio is unbelievable. Matt Ryan without Julio is unbelievably bad. Well, Julio's back, so give me the Falcons in this one.
I got Detroit in this game. I think last week's win was a fluke, and I think they'll go back to falling to 1-6. So that's all I'm gonna say about that. Carolina at New Orleans. New Orleans. They get back Michael Thomas this week. So
well, now he's questionable.
No. I know about his ankle, but they said
no.
What?
Hamstring.
Come on, man. Seriously?
Yeah, trust me. My fantasy team is not liking that. When you got Michael Thomas and Austin Ekeler on your fantasy team, that's no fun. Yeah, Michael Thomas is now questionable with not only the ankle, but now a hamstring. So, not ideal.
Damn, I already made my picks. I'm still going
Saints, though. I mean, let's be real here. The Saints are still a better team overall than this Panthers team.
Yeah, but as much as you've been promoting that running back who replaced
I'm not promoting. I'm just saying he hasn't made a huge drop-off since he was bad last week. Teddy Bridgewater is still – him and Drew Brees at this point are probably very similar quarterbacks. The Saints have a better overall team around him, so I'm going with the Saints.
All right, well, I'll stick with that. Next up, Dallas at Washington. Man, trust me, I am pissed about myself because as much as I want to go against Dallas, it's just something that's telling me – even against the Washington football team, Dallas can find a way, but they can also find a way to lose it. And I don't know, maybe I'm just doing that because of my heart, because my brother's a Cowboys fan. I grew up a Cowboys fan,
yeah.
But that was in the Emmitt, Michael, and Troy days, and Deion Sanders and Darren Smith. You know, those. I'm doing it only in memory of Dak.
Yeah, this one is tough. I'm going with Washington.
Is that who you pick?
The Cowboys' offensive line is so bad. Andy Dalton has zero time to give the ball to his – because let's be real, Dallas has some good weapons.
Maybe I'm just thinking that Ezekiel will make up for last week.
You think so?
He better.
I mean, Washington's defense is not bad, though. That's the only problem.
I know. But you know what? I'm still a little salty because of how Ron Rivera did Dwayne Haskins. So, I don't know. I guess I'm a little salty about that. So, yeah, I'm going with.
Yeah, but the rumors surrounding that aren't good for Dwayne Haskins.
What you mean?
There's rumors that he was, like, on Snapchat and Instagram and meetings. And Ron Rivera is a no-nonsense head coach. So.
Yeah, you know, look, I'm a straight shooter. I can't excuse that. If that's what he did, then that's what
he did.
Again,
who knows the truth? But I like
Ron
Rivera.
It's probably true.
Yeah.
It's probably true. Now, this was hard for me. But who you got, Green Bay, Houston?
I know. I love Deshaun Watson.
I feel about my boy.
We both are big on the Deshaun Watson train.
But I had to go with Green Bay.
I did too. Green Bay is just –
I had to go Green Bay.
They're a good team. They're a great team.
They're
going to bounce back. There's no way they have the exact same week 2 weeks in a row. That dud against the Bucs, I can't see it happen against a poor defensive Houston team.
Yeah, but the other thing about Houston, though, it's – the flip side is that Romeo, I'm pretty sure, will look at making the adjustments that they made. I mean, they did score, what was it, 38? Or they scored 32 points against, I forgot how many points they scored last week against Tennessee.
Oh, Houston, yeah.
Yeah, because the game did go into overtime. So, I mean, they're able to score.
36, I think. It was 42-36.
Okay, yeah. So I mean, they are able to put points up on the board. Yeah, 42-36. So, but it is going to be a shootout. It is in Houston. But I am going to stay, only because they're the better overall team, I'm going to stick with Green Bay in this game. But that's going to be a tough one. Now, this game was moved from Sunday Night Football to earlier in the day. It could potentially be moved between now and Sunday to a Monday afternoon or a Tuesday night game, which I would hope a Tuesday night give me something to watch Tuesday. Tampa Bay and Las Vegas, who you got?
So, I think we're probably going to differ here. I'm going with Vegas. I'm going with Derek Carr and the Raiders. I'm going with Darren Waller. I understand Tampa Bay just put a whooping on the Packers. Vegas looks like they're rolling and they found something going on. That defense looks good. Darren Waller looks good. They finally hit Ruggs. And if Derek Carr can go deep again like he did against Kansas City, this Raiders team, I think, will beat Tampa Bay.
Well, I was going to say they were undefeated home, but they're not. They lost to the Bills. I've got Tampa Bay, but that was a tough decision. I don't want to make it seem like, because they did hand Kansas City nail, and then they had a bye week. And then, of course, you know, you bring Tampa Bay in. Again, you don't know which Tampa Bay team you're going to get, the one that lost to the Bears or the one that put the dog walk on Green Bay. And so,
yeah, and the Raiders offensive line, the whole question mark surrounding it.
Which is why and they're gonna be without Jonathan Abram as well. So that's why when you said you were going to the Raiders, kind of threw me off, like,
you know. It's my upset pick this week. This is my upset pick.
That's definitely an upset. Let's move over now to the games on CBS. The first one. I'm just going to be checking the score. I doubt I put any money on this game. But we're looking at Cleveland at Cincinnati. Who you got in this game?
Can
Baker Mayfield bounce back after being benched last week?
Yes. Well, I think that was part of his rib situation, which is right why he was benched. He didn't want to take any more hits. I'm going with Cleveland in this one. Everyone's acting like Cleveland's like 1-5 or 0-6. They're 4-2.
Yeah.
Come on. Everyone's acting like Cleveland is this abysmal team.
The teams that beat them, though, were both Baltimore.
Yeah, they're going to lose either way to those teams. Cleveland's not as good as those teams. They're still 4-2. I like them over Joe Burrow and Cincinnati's not as bad, but that defense
Don't forget the first game that they played against each other went down to the wire, too. So.
Cincinnati's defense is brutal. I like Cleveland. I think OBJ will have a huge game in this one. I'm going with Cleveland.
I got Cleveland. Trust me, it's not because I wanted to. I just held my nose and decided to pick them. I still think that Baker Mayfield is not that guy. I do believe, and when you say big game is going to be relative for Odell. I think he gets a couple of touchdowns, but I don't think he has a real big stat there. I just think he does just enough. But I think they rely more on the running game if I'm them. Now, Cincinnati is going to be without Joe Mixon, so that's going to hamper their running game. So that gives to me a slighter edge against the Browns. So I got the Browns in this game. I'm going to come back to this other game, but Buffalo at the New York Jets.
Buffalo. I'm honestly surprised it's only 12.5.
Well, trust me, if I'm Josh Allen, I'm putting the brakes. I'm putting the beat down on the Jets only because I got to figure out a way to bounce back to get my name back in that conversation.
I mean, I would not be surprised if the Jets get shut out again. I mean, honestly, that offense is so bad.
I'm going to look at the line Saturday night.
It's 12.5 right now, and the over-under is 45. I'm ripping the under because I honestly think that it's going to be like a 28-3 game.
Okay, that's fair. I'm just going to look at the prop bets to see what I can put down on Buffalo in that game. Next up, because we both got Buffalo, next up we got the 49ers at New England late afternoon game.
Going with New England in this one, I'm off the 49ers. Even after last year, I said after the Super Bowl, going in this year, I said 49ers are an overrated team. I think they got a little lucky last year. I like New England. I like Cam Newton.
This is the return of Jimmy Garoppolo to New England.
Average quarterback returning to New England.
He has been average this season. I like New England. I mean, I think that they need to bounce back. I believe they'll bounce back because they didn't expect to lose last week against the Denver Broncos. And so it's hard for me. One, they lost two games in a row. I don't see them losing three in a row. I just see them, winning the game. And I think they'll win it pretty handily.
Yeah.
Next up, Jacksonville Jaguars at the Los Angeles Chargers. I got the Chargers in this game. I think, I think time is due for the rookie quarterback to get his first win in the NFL. And what better way to do it than to get it against the Jaguars.
Yeah, I'm going with the Chargers. I like Justin Herbert a lot. I like the Chargers. I like Justin Herbert. This Jacksonville team, they're not a well-built organization. They going into this year, they basically said they were rebuilding.
I feel bad because I think I'm about to drop some more money in this account because that's a game I'm really hoping that Herbert, because they're going to be playing at home, I really hope he slings the ball and gets the ball. Spreads it around. I think he could have a real big stat day.
I think it's a huge stat day, although I wouldn't be surprised if it's a close game just because the Chargers always seem to play close games. It's the Chargers' nature. It's what they do. But I think they finally don't blow it. So I'm going with the Chargers.
Obviously, we both got Kansas City against Denver, but the big matchup I wanted to talk about is Pittsburgh Steelers at Tennessee Titans. That game, of course, both teams undefeated. Pittsburgh 5-0, Tennessee 6-0. Who you got in this game, man, and why?
I feel like we're probably going to differ. I don't know. I've not seen your picks. I'm going with Pittsburgh.
What?
I'm going with the Steelers.
I'm going with the Steelers, too.
That's surprising. You seem to love the Derrick Henry, the train.
I do, but I actually do watch Pittsburgh, man. They do play some defense, like you try to tell you, man.
That
a good defense will even shut down a good run game.
That defense is unbelievable. If you hold Saquon to 6 yards and 15 carries, I don't care how bad the offensive line is, that's a good defense. This Steelers defense has been outstanding. Big Ben, he's back. He's back and playing well. And James Conner surprisingly has been relatively effective since he's come back from injury. You know, I like this Steelers team. I still think this Tennessee team is overrated at 5-0, even though they're undefeated. I just can't see them making a deep run in the playoffs, but I got to go with the Steelers.
So I do want to make mention, going back a little bit, and I did see this, but Randy Rubel reminds me that Emmanuel Sanders for the Saints is on the COVID list. So
that just means Kamara's getting 15 catches.
I know. Kamara, the game against the Raiders and the Saints, he made me money, so I'm definitely going to put money on him in Sunday's game. He does remind me also that Andy Dalton, he was horrible last week, but I just think that Washington's still bad enough where the Cowboys, and look, the Cowboys need to stay, as much as it's crazy to say, they need to win the game to stay ahead of the Philadelphia Eagles in that division. I mean, at three games, they will be leading the division.
No Zach Martin. No. Offensive line is, that may be the worst offensive line in football right now that the Cowboys have. So that, and again, I'm telling you, Washington's front four is good. That team is bad, but that front four is good. So give me Washington.
Well, going back to the Pittsburgh game, I was watching the clip of First Take this morning where I guess Ryan Clark is he's trending on Twitter, man, where he talks about Derrick Henry has, you know, all the stiff arms you see is always on defensive back, but he ain't going to bring that smoke in him. But then I remember watching him in college. I saw a clip where he stiff-armed a defensive lineman, actually flipped a man. I mean, like, literally threw him in the air and flipped him over before scoring a touchdown. So I don't know. I'm pretty sure Derrick Henry's going to use that as motivation in Sunday's game against the Steelers. But I still like the Steelers. I like them defensively. Mike Tomlin, hell of a coach. Obviously, you know, both teams have to play the rest of the season out without a bye week. So, but I think this game, honestly, going to be a hard-hitting game. This is going to be one of those AFC North, you know, type ball games where both teams are going to go at it. And at the end of the day, they're going to wish they had a bye week because it's going to be a real physical game. And at the end, look, it would not surprise me if it's a one possession game at the end of the game, and it wouldn't surprise me even if Tennessee were to win. It is at home. It's a third straight game at home.
And Ryan Tannehill has been unbelievable. I mean, eventually, I talk about Ryan Tannehill a lot. I think he's a very good quarterback.
Far too much for my liking.
But I feel like I've not completely bought into how good he's actually done. I mean, dude consistently makes the right play, the right decisions. He consistently does not turn the ball over, and he consistently makes tight windows in the red zone. Eventually, I'm going to start jump on the Ryan Tannehill train and start rolling with him, but I can't this week.
You really hit me with the Ryan Tannehill, really?
I mean, he's unbelievable.
He's okay. Sunday Night Football, though. We have the Seattle Seahawks traveling to Arizona. Now, again, another good thing, local kid here, Isaiah Simmons, get a chance to kind of put a little spotlight on him in Sunday night's game, as it was a little bit. For, of course, local people to watch him in Monday night's game against the Dallas Cowboys. Didn't really have a big stack game. I think he had maybe two or three tackles, but, you know, he is starting. He is making an impact and doing well for the Arizona Cardinals. Who you got in this game?
Seattle. I love Seattle. Russell Wilson, that offense is fantastic. He has so many weapons. Tyler Lockett, Chris Carson, DK Metcalf is looking like a legitimate number one wide receiver right now. Love the Seattle team.
I'm trying. This is his second year or third or
who?
DK Metcalf.
Same as McColl.
Okay. Well, no, because I was trying to remember if I had
Chief drafted McColl.
No.
DK.
Yeah, that's saying something within itself. Now, of course, you talk about the run game. Carson hasn't really done. He hasn't been. I don't think he's contributed as much as I thought he would. I know he had 52 yards last week, but But Russell Wilson has actually led the league. I mean, led the team in rushing in most of those games.
Chris Carson's dump off ability has been outstanding. I mean, Chris Carson is a very good two way running back.
I mean, I'm gonna put some money on him this weekend. We're gonna see what he do. But no, I got Seattle in this game as well. But obviously the thing that scares me most about Seattle is we're talking about their offense, but their defense is horrible. And Kyler Murray, if he does, I mean, he only completed 9 passes, but passed for 200-some-odd yeah. yards last week.
And they're all
going to
be bombs, too. I mean, Seattle's secondary is the worst in the NFL. If you're Arizona, you throw deep to Christian Kirk, to DeAndre Hopkins, and he could have a similar thing of 10 receptions for 200-plus yards easy just based on throwing bombs.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're able to put up yardages at ease. And then, of course, Kenyon Drake, when we saw what he did last week.
He's been bad all year. To be honest with you, I think Chase Edmonds is the future running back of that Arizona Cardinals team. I think it's a matter of time just because he's a better pass-catching back than Kenyon Drake. But after that performance last week, obviously Kenyon's still going to get the RB1 touches this week. Mm-hmm. Kenyon Drake is too inconsistent for me. It's like he tries to be Derrick Henry. He tries to be someone else. It's just tough for me to keep trusting him week in and week out.
Oh, man. Got a great offense in Seattle, horrible defense in Seattle. We know that at least Arizona, they can get the ball out there. At the end of the day, they're 4-2. I mean, this is a division game, so, I mean, they can win this game, and it is at home. It would not shock me. And, obviously, Russell Wilson, he's trying to continue on with that MVP-type performance in the year. I got Seattle, but, man,
it'll be a fun one to watch.
It is going to be fun, and I'm actually glad that they kind of switched those games between them and Tampa Bay, so you do get a chance to sit down and watch this. Man, yes, Saturday night. I actually pretty sure I'm going to the casino tonight, so I got to make sure I put some money aside for Sunday's games because it's going to be interesting. But that is our picks, and of course,
we'll do Monday.
Yeah, we'll
is
do
that
Monday.
What you're saying?
We'll do Monday. But also make sure that you do what you did on Sunday, posting these up so people can see who has the better picks, which everyone knows is going to be me. So we'll take a quick timeout.
Oh,
yeah,
man, come
yeah,
on.
Yeah. Who had a better week last week? Who had a better week last week?
Overall, through the years, I'll have to take a look.
Oh, it's still me.
I think through the year, I'm winning.
No, I'm winning.
You can't just say that without.
I'm winning.
I'll say something when we're off the break. But
we'll look.
You
at
won
it.
Last on. Week. You won last
I,
week.
I won last week, but look at it. When we come back, I need you to hail to the king when we come back. Keep it locked in. You're listening to Darren Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City.
Stomp your feet and clap your hands with me. It's a celebration. Yeah, stomp, stomp, clap, clap, stomp, stomp, clap. You got it. Tech 9, let's go.
K-C-O.
Oh. Welcome back to Darren and Sterling here on ESPN Kansas City, 94.5 FM and 1510 AM. Sterling, I was looking at your percentage and stuff. Of course, you know how. What you got to say about yourself?
I told you, it's the baseball. The baseball makes no sense. The baseball is included in this.
I don't know. Okay, but
and I'm ranked second out of 69 folks in baseball.
But when you break everything down, when you just put it just NFL and just winners, not the spread, none of that stuff, I'm at 74%. Now, this is what it says. I'm 53-19-1. It's 74%. When I pull you up and I break it down, just NFL and just picks, just winners.
So where are you at?
It's got you 50-24-1. That's 68%.
And what were you at?
I'm on your page. You just click.
I
on.
Know what page are you on. And what were you at? What percentage?
I'm at 74.
Man, last week was brutal.
It was.
I may have gone 3-12 last week.
Ooh, good.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
it,
that would happen.
It was a rough one. It was a rough one for me last week.
Yeah, so this was going to be rough again for you this week because you went. Now, I lost some games too. It was some unexpected games. But all that being said, don't bet against your guy. Don't go against me.
I would always go against Darren. I would.
That's why I'm always have a better record than you too.
See, you're too confident up front without letting the whole season play out.
Oh, I don't care how it plays out. I'm still going to win.
I'm going 19-0. What happened?
Okay, hold on. That's just one game, Sterling. That's one game. Because at the end
the
of the day.
The one that matters.
Hold on. At the, no, one that
the
matters.
The Chiefs is what matters.
No, Chiefs, Tampa Bay and the Super Bowl is what's going to matter. You and Steve's New Orleans Saints, not going to make it.
Hey, got to roll with it.
Okay.
The Chiefs 13-3 seems a lot more likely than 19-0 now, doesn't it?
Well, no, because initially you had them losing to Buffalo to start the season. Now you
I said 13-3.
Then you jumped on the bandwagon. They had to go to win.
13-3.
I got a question for what you watching this weekend?
Baseball.
Give me your game through game three through
so,
five.
Game three, I think I'm going to end up going with the Dodgers in this one. Walker,
you think just going to alternate?
Walker Buehler is just so – I love Charlie Morton. Charlie Morton's been so good in this playoffs. If you look at his stats, 15 innings, and he's like a .5 ERA in the playoffs. But Walker Buehler has been outstanding and consistently outstanding from the regular season to the playoffs. I like the Dodgers in this one. It's going to be a low-scoring affair tonight. After that
– Is Kershaw pitching tomorrow?
No. Let me look on that, actually.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, I don't know if he's going to be like a game one, game four, game seven if needed, or if they just bring him out, you know, to finish it off. But also, now, what I'm going to be watching tomorrow afternoon, and I got to remind myself because it's going to be taking place in Abu Dhabi, UFC 254, Khabib against Gaethje.
It'll be Julio Urias in game four for the Dodgers.
Okay.
And then right now it's undecided for the Rays. Probably they'll use the quote-unquote starter. Whether that's going to be Ryan Yarbrough, whether that's going to be one of the random guys that they just all of a sudden find from another team and turn into a stud reliever. But I would assume it's going to be a bullpen game start, at least, for the Rays in game four.
All right. So when we come in Monday, does any team win, rattle off three straight games and in the World Series?
I can't see that happening. I think these two teams are too close. And the thing is, they're both very – They're similar yet different in their style of play. They're a power hitting team. They get a lot of their runs off of home runs, but the Dodgers' strength is their starting pitching with Kershaw, with Walker Buehler, and then when you look over at the Rays, their strength is their bullpen, and I just think that they're just too close talent wise. To for one team to just run away with the series. I don't know about you, about what you think here, but I just truly think it's going to be a seven-game World Series. It's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, no, I believe it can go seven. I'm just, you know, but yeah. They schedule it so much where the World Series is over within a week versus like the NBA Finals where it goes over a course of 2 weeks or something like that I was hope that they stretch it out, but so much sports right now, it's all good. But if it ends over the weekend, it would not surprise me if it ended Sunday night.
Well, then who would you have winning Sunday night?
L.A. Yeah, I mean, if it's going to end, I would say L.A. rattles off three straight wins. But I'm like you, I think it goes seven, but it wouldn't surprise me if L.A.
The thing with L.A. is their bullpen just scares me so much. I just don't think they have any lockdown guys in that bullpen right now. And that in a World Series, as you know, as Royals fans, as we've seen in Kansas City, a bullpen means so much, especially in the playoffs. I just don't trust that Dodgers bullpen at all.
You watching any UFC this weekend, man? You going to watch
no,
this pay-per-view?
I'm not. Pay. You stopped me right there at pay. You got me right there. I'm out.
Do you really think I pay for this stuff?
Hey, come on now.
Seriously, you really think I pay for this stuff? I'm watching it. You know, watching it.
There's too
on
much.
Something.
What day is that on?
Tomorrow afternoon, actually. 1:00.
No, actually, that's feasible.
Exactly.
Probably watch the Mizzou game.
Why? Why put yourself? I'm not even watching the Sunflower Showdown.
See, that's because you know K-State's going to roll. That's not even fun to watch. Mizzou has shown glimpses.
I'm not covering that game.
And you got a freshman quarterback, Connor Bays, like looks really good.
I talked to our mutual friend, Kenitra. She was like, yeah, Puka opting out. She was like, if you don't have an offensive line, hey, you can just opt out, go take care of your mom, and get ready for the draft. Would you play behind KU's offensive line?
Oh, hell no. He's not doing anything that is going to boost his potential NFL draft stock.
Drop his stock.
Oh, no, I think so, too. But there's no reason for him to play, realistically. If you're thinking about only the player and not the team.
Well, I know you don't follow UFC much, but I do see Khabib winning tomorrow against Gaethje. It is going to be a close fight. I kind of wish he would fight Conor McGregor again just to put the beat down on him, but I know he wants to end. He wants to retire after 30 fights, and he wants his last fight to be against George St. Pierre. So depending on how this fight goes.
Is George St. Pierre still fighting? I mean, dude's got to be, what, late 30s at this point
now?
Not
really, man, but in the fight game, as long as you can throw a punch, you're good. And plus, he's a solid wrestler. I mean, look,
George St. Pierre's
money, man.
When I watched this growing, like when I was younger, George St. Pierre was my favorite. He was my favorite fighter.
I can't lie. Anderson Silva was mine.
Was it? See, I
spinning back here. Oof.
I just feel like I haven't seen any George St. Pierre news in a long time.
You know, the only way he would come back is if this goes takes place. Hugh Jackson says Cleveland, he was defending Baker Mayfield. That's
how funny is it, Hugh Jackson defending Baker? The whole situation with Hugh Jackson is just funny to me. He was such a bad
head coach.
To
be writing a book that says he guarantees it's going to be a bestseller next year. Now, somebody said, what's the sales going to be? 0-16. So I don't know, man. That's going to be too much. But look, I want to thank everyone for tuning in today. Thank you for dropping your comments online, listening to us. We'll be back again on Monday. Make sure you tune in to on social media to the Cheat Sheet with myself and Steve Walls on Sundays. We get you ready for Chiefs Broncos. Until Monday, please stay safe, wear a mask. For Sterling Holmes, I'm Darren Smith. Be blessed.